This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
My friends, we'll keep on fighting to the end. We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losers, 'cause we are the champions.
It's over. It's finally over. The losing streak has come to a close. The Rockets have finally won a game, 117-99 against the Toronto Raptors. What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join myself and the Athletics' Ali Cambigiani each week live to get in on the action. This week, we will be broadcasting live Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. Central Time. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. It is so refreshing to be able to talk about something other than a loss, to be able to be excited to sit down and not have to scope out the future. And this just feels really good. I'm so excited. There's so many great things to talk about, like legitimately going down the line of every single player in this game. It felt like everybody made some type of a significant contribution in this game to win this game. And so we're going to hear from Steven Silas. We're going to hear from John Wall. We're going to hear from Christian Wood. I'm just going to kind of go down the lineup and kind of give my thoughts about this game and the individual level contributions from each guy. But I guess just to, you know, lead us off is just, I mean, you could just see, right? I mean, I posted the video of the players, you know, just jumping up and down, excited. The losing streak was finally over. Like, you could see this weight had just been lifted. Hearing Steven Silas talk post-game about how important this win was, not just for, not even for himself, but for the guys. And then you could hear the same thing from Wall and from Wood talking about how badly they wanted this win for him, how much adversity that he's gone through. And we'll hear them say as much, using their own words later on, but just very, very impressed by this win. Really a dominant win, of sorts. The Rockets really, they kind of started to falter a little bit in that third quarter, but they responded really, really well, and they had a dominant fourth quarter performance. I'll just start going down the line. And let's start, to get things started in this game, right? Sterling Brown, a 13-point first quarter performance to get the Rockets off to a ridiculous start. At one point, the game was tied 15-15, and Sterling Brown had 13 of those points for the Rockets. It was unbelievably crazy. So Sterling Brown kind of got things rolling. The Rockets continued to play with a renewed effort and intensity on defense. And a big part of that was DJ Wilson. So DJ Wilson, who I was already kind of high on and was hoping that the Rockets would potentially make a part of their long-term plans, he looks really mobile defensively. Like, he's got good defensive instincts. He's moving really well. He can switch. He is a gigantic upgrade over Justin Patton and over easily Rodion's Kurucs. Somebody joked about that. I mean, I think I'm an upgrade over Rodion's Kurucs, just saying. But legitimately, DJ Wilson looked great out there. And, you know, there might be some concerns about his size and, you know, actually being able to rebound against some bigger players. And those are warranted concerns. But in this game, he looked great. He was active defensively, moving his feet really well, switching really well. And really, this entire bench unit, you know, everybody, like all down the starting lineup, right? The starters all had phenomenal games and really, you know, most everybody from the bench had a pretty solid game, but I think like my sleeper MVP from the bench unit is DJ Augustine, like legitimately, because they would not have won this game without DJ Augustine kind of calming things down in that second unit and kind of steering the ship for the periods where he was the only, you know, primary ball handler on the floor for stretches of this game. And I fully believe that if they had had DJ Augustine in the previous game against the Thunder, they wouldn't have lost that game, because there were stretches where things just kind of got a little out of control for the Rockets in that game. Yes, they gave up the 19 offensive rebounds, but they weren't playing a bad game outside of that, really. Like defensively, it's not like they were having constant defensive breakdowns. They were just giving the Thunder 2 and 3 and sometimes 4 extra possessions on a single offensive trip to try and, you know, make a shot. And when you do that, you're going to lose the game. So I feel like DJ Augustine potentially, you know, could have kind of helped steer things a little bit better offensively for them. And then defensively, you know, maybe bring a little bit more intensity, a little bit of that veteran leadership. But I thought that he did a great job in this game. Offensively, he was just 1 of 4 for 4 points, did go to the free throw line, hit 2 of those. But he had 3 assists, and just kind of his presence out there kind of steering things for the 18 minutes that he played felt really, really needed by this Rockets team. But the, you know, the top dogs, right, got to get to him. Christian Wood, 19 points, 4 rebounds, had an assist, had a steal, 8 of 15 shooting. He had 12 of his 19 points in that third quarter after being scoreless in the first half. So 19 second half points for Christian Wood. John Wall, 19 points, 8 of 30 shooting. And we're going to talk about that in the third segment a little bit. Just 1 of 7 from behind the arc, 2 of 2 at the free throw line. Did have a triple-double for John Wall. So 19 points, 11 boards, 10 assists, had a steal, had 2 blocks. So a pretty inefficient night from John Wall, but he wanted this W, he wanted this win. And let's go ahead and hear what John Wall had to say about this one.
I just told him we finally got one. So we finally got one. He was happy, and I know, you know, after what his emotion was the last 24 hours, it was big to come out here and compete and play at a high level for him and get a win. Like I told him, I'm riding with him no matter what. And he said the same thing with me. He told me he loved me and I appreciate my leadership. And no coach like this in their first year wants to deal with all the adversity he has dealt with, but he's somebody that the locker room guys respect and other coaches respect him, and he's a great guy. You know what I mean? You want the best for him. And we happy that we got this win and hopefully we can build forward going to our next game. We talk a lot. We text a lot. Sometimes on the road, we meet, have conversations about certain things we see and what we like. He's a great person, great guy, great coach. Like I said, I just hate he has to go through all the adversity he's been through after waiting 20 years to get his first head coaching job. And it's all something that everybody in his locker room and also him as a coach and all the other coaches, we have something to prove. I mean, we all have a story that's been written that a lot of people have probably written us off in our lives, and especially on this stage. And we're just trying to accomplish that and do it all as one.
So that was John Wall again talking about, you know, what this win meant and you know, kind of his relationship with Silas. And those are some great things to hear after the adversity that this team and this group of guys has faced. So coming up, I want to talk a little bit more about the other guys, the other starters, Tate, Brown, Daniel House Jr., as well as Christian Wood. We'll also hear from Stephen Silas, and we'll get there in just a quick moment after a message from our friends over at Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Rockets once a week, and yes, you can finally join in on the conversation that you listen to here every single day. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the NBA. You can go download the free Locker Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. Follow me at JT Gatlin to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss out on it. I'm planning to be live this week, Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. Central. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Rockets, their latest win, and everything going on leading into the trade deadline. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Quick message from my friends over at rockauto.com. Look, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas rockauto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. And it's basically impossible to keep all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront anyways, whereas rockauto.com, they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the important part, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Did you know that you can get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our brand new Locked On Today podcast? Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast, wherever you listen to this podcast. Peter's great. Check it out. You won't regret it. Continuing on, so I do want to hear from head coach Steven Silas in just a moment, but I also want to first let me highlight kind of going down the line of these starters, and I'll talk about Christian Wood a little bit more in the third segment because there's a point that I want to hammer home about Christian Wood and John Wall, because it's not everything is sunshine and roses. It never is. It's great that we got the win out of the way. The Rockets ending the franchise worst 20-game losing streak. That's phenomenal. But I do still have some areas that I want to nitpick on. I'll get to there in the third segment. But first off, I gotta compliment Jayshon Tate, who had an incredible game. Like, if I had to pick an MVP from this game, it probably has to be Jayshon Tate. Like, John Wall had the triple-double, sure, but he also shot 8 of 30. Christian Wood finished with 19 points, but he was largely a non-factor in the first half because he picked up two early fouls, had to sit at the four-minute mark in the second quarter, or in the first quarter, I should say, then picked up a third foul early in the second quarter and had to sit down the rest of the way for that quarter. So he was largely a non-factor in the first half of the game. Sterling Brown was great in the opening and finished with 20 points, but overall, I think the guy who impacted the game the most on both sides of the basketball had to be Jayshon Tate. Played 40 minutes, had 22 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 8 of 9 shooting from the floor, 3 of 4 from behind the arc, 3 of 6 at the free throw line. If there was one thing that he didn't do well this game, it was shoot free throws. But legitimately, and I commented on this during the game, and this extends as well to KJ Martin, the way that those two players now pull the three ball with confidence, like they pull up from behind the arc with the utmost confidence, like every shot is going in. It's such a stark comparison to how the season started with those two guys, where they were both very, very hesitant to ever shoot the three ball. And it just shows how far they've progressed in such a short time. And a big part of that for KJ was just him spending time down in the G League and getting those reps there. For Jayshon Tate, it was, you know, being inserted into the starting lineup and becoming a permanent starter and really getting that confidence from Steven Silas. Even Silas talking about before this game started, talking about the play at the end of the Thunder game and how, you know, when he designs those end of play or end of game scenarios, you know, for those final, that final play, that final possession, he says that those plays start by having somebody trustworthy inbounding the ball. And in this instance, it was Jayshon Tate. Those are Steven Silas's words. So Silas continues to use the word trust when he refers to Jayshon Tate. And so for, you know, a rookie head coach and Steven Silas to trust a rookie player in Jayshon Tate, who they're kind of, when you think about it, Silas and Tate are almost in a similar mold where, yes, Steven Silas is a rookie head coach, but he's been around the game for so long and, you know, in the NBA landscape for so long, he's not I guess a traditional rookie head coach. You know, he's got so much experience under his belt. And Jay Sean Tate is in a similar vein, right? He's not a traditional NBA rookie because he spent time, you know, he did all 4 years in college. He spent time overseas. He doesn't play like a rookie. And so I think there's, you know, a unique relationship there between those two. And, you know, just based on, you know, what I've heard about Jay Sean Tate kind of behind the scenes, you know, I think that that's phenomenal for him, for his growth, and for Steven Silas, that they've found that, you know, that sturdy, you know, relationship that they can trust in each other and that they both have confidence in each other, you know, as head coach and as player. That's just phenomenal to see. And so I wanted to hammer on that point about Jay Sean Tate. But the other point that I have is I absolutely love when Jay Sean Tate gets a rebound and immediately books it in transition. It's very Draymond-esque. Like, I can't, you know, so many times, right, we've had our fair share of battling with the Warriors over the years, but so many times, right, Draymond would get the rebound and then just take off in transition. And I don't think Draymond is nearly the athlete that Jay Sean Tate is, you know, just based on looks. I think Tate's quite a bit more athletic than Draymond, but they have that similar style where they get the rebound and they immediately look to push in transition. And I just love that Tate does that. Like, it's such a refreshing sight to see, you know, a wing player or, you know, multiple players on the team be able to grab the ball, push it in transition, and start creating opportunities for his teammates or for himself. And again, that you know, that comes from the confidence that he gets from head coach Steven Silas. That comes from the trust that they have in him to, you know, to really just play his game. You know, he's not going out there trying to be the guy every single night, but he's going out there playing his game, well within the scope of the offense, not forcing anything and just making good reads, making, you know, providing the right opportunities for himself and his teammates. And I've just been continued to be blown away by Jay Sean Tate. There is no reason that he shouldn't at least be on the all-rookie first team. And I mean, depending on how the rest of the season goes, you can make an argument that he might be in the running for Rookie of the Year, like legitimately. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. And then the other guy, I got to give Daniel House Jr. his props before we get to segment three. Daniel House Jr. has been playing some really solid basketball over the last couple weeks, you know, since he came back from the quad contusion, I think it was, you know, just the few games that he's been back since then. This game, he had 12 points. He had 6 assists, had 3 boards, 4 or 5 from the floor, 2 of 3 from behind the arc. And he had the ridiculous, one of those three-pointers was the ridiculous, like, mid-court shot leading into halftime, which that momentum really helped carry the Rockets into that third quarter. And even though they kind of, like, faltered a bit in that third quarter, they responded really, really well in the fourth quarter, pretty much shutting down the Raptors, a 29-13 quarter in favor of the Rockets. So just wanted to give Daniel House Jr. his shout out there. He's been playing some solid defense. You know, it's just the really, I don't have any faults for anybody down the entire, you know, 9-man lineup that played in this game. Maybe Ben McLemore, who hit his first couple shots and then kind of faltered the rest of the way. 2 of 7 shooting, just 7 points. Did get to the free throw line 3 times, hit 2 of those. So, I mean, hard to be too upset with him there. But the Rockets as a team, you know, shot 45.6% from the floor, 38.9% from behind the arc. Like, they played I don't want to say a perfect game, but basically they played the best game that we've seen them play in about 20 games. So it's a welcome sight. It's great to see. I'm happy that they got the W. And Steven Silas is also extremely happy that they got the W. So let's go ahead and actually hear from Silas himself and what he had to say after this game.
It's like indescribable for a win in March of this crazy season. But I'm just so proud of the guys. Like, when you're like going through it and fighting so hard, and you just see the disappointment in the players' faces after loss after loss after loss, and then to go in the locker room after today's game and everybody's just happy and joyous. It really, I mean, it's super cool and great and like, yeah, whatever. I was down and out yesterday. It seems like a week ago right now, but you know, we regroup, we come together, and yeah, it feels a lot better just because I know it feels great for the players, like whatever with me, you know, but I'm just so happy for those guys that they don't have to hear about it and deal with it. And like I said at the beginning, just kind of trying to pick yourself up again to fight another day and pick yourself up again to fight another day and be disappointed day after day after day. And I see it in their faces. I see it in their eyes. And I try to provide like stability when it comes to it. But yeah, the reason I'm happy, so happy, is for those guys.
So again, that was head coach Steven Silas talking about this game and what it means to the guys. And really, I'm just so happy that they can finally kind of get this weight off of their shoulders and focus on moving forward. And, you know, look, I'm not sitting here parading and hoping that they're going to turn it around and, you know, suddenly try to push and be a play-in team. That's not, you know, I still am secretly hoping that they finish a bottom three team so that they can have a high draft pick. But the occasional win is okay for morale, for team spirit, and that's exactly what this one was. So coming up, I want to talk about Christian Wood and John Wall and kind of that dynamic there, as well as hearing from Christian Wood himself. And we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing, and we've got MLB right around the corner. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. Head over to the website and sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Look, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for quite a while now. And there's a reason for that, right? Built Bar, it's not like a traditional protein bar. It's a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. It's low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, the best tasting protein bar on the market. They're covered in 100% chocolate. You just can't go wrong with them. But now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best Built Bar. It is Built Bar Madness, and today's matchup is chocolate brownie chunk versus lemon almond cheesecake. So I've actually got a cop-out here on this one. Lemon almond cheesecake is one of the few Built Bars that I actually haven't tried. So I've had the chocolate brownie chunk, and I know that one is really good. So I like, for me, chocolate brownie chunk wins by default, although I've heard good things from the other Locked On hosts about the lemon almond cheesecake. So maybe that's like not like a sleeper pick, but maybe that'll be like the upset in this round. I don't know. But you can cast your vote. You can check it out. Just go to BuiltBar.com or @bar_built on Twitter to let them know which bar you think should win this round. And remember, when you're on the website, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order at BuiltBar.com. And be sure to check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Wanting to discuss here in this segment, so, you know, kind of hitting on the main points from the earlier segments, although I did miss one, the ridiculous 360 layup by John Wall, which was absolute vintage John Wall. One of the few makes that he had on the evening, 8 of 30 shooting again, but it was a ridiculous 360 layup. I mean, the way he hung in the air, it was just, the dude's a, you know, a walking highlight reel. But I do want to talk about the dynamic between John Wall and Christian Wood. But first things first, let's actually hear from Christian Wood before I dive into the final point that I want to make about this game. So let's go ahead and hear from him.
My relationship with Steven is, I've came here for him. You know, he's brought me in. And to speak on yesterday, you would never want to see a head coach like that. I'd rather see my head coach, how his face was today after this win, than how it was yesterday. So, you know, I'm happy to see that. Me and coach, you know, I've always had a relationship in terms of trusting each other on the court and off the court. So it was a good win for us. You know, it helped his spirit and it helped mine as well. And we just got to keep it up, man.
And that's going to do it for Christian Wood, Rockets' glorious, amazing big man. And so here's my thing. With Wall and Wood, and with the start of this game, you know, Wood got into the early foul trouble, sure. He had two fouls, like the 4 minute mark of the first quarter, had to go sit down. Yeah, that sucks. But Wood didn't get his first shot, his first field goal attempt, until about 2.5 minutes into the game. I think it came at about the 9.5 minute mark of the first quarter. And then he got one more touch somewhere else, and that was it. He had two shot attempts by the end of the first quarter. And then, of course, yeah, he had to go sit down a little early. But John Wall finished the first quarter with 8 shot attempts, and he finished 2 of 8. And I need John Wall to realize that Christian Wood is the best offensive player on this team. Like, there's zero reason for Christian Wood to finish any game that he plays, like, the full, you know, allotted, you know, minutes for the game, you know, in, north of 30, right? There's zero reason for Christian Wood to have less than 20 field goal attempts in a given game. He's too efficient. He is, like, the offense hums better when it runs through Christian Wood. And I don't mean, right, I don't mean dump the ball down to Christian Wood in the post and let him go to work, right? He's not, you know, Kevin Garnett. That's not his game. You can do that a little bit. You can give him the ball and he can kind of face up a little bit. He's kind of, again, he's like AD light, right? And so you can give him the ball and he can kind of face up on the perimeter and kind of create for himself, or you can run heavy pick and roll with him. But when I see John Wall running pick and roll with Christian Wood, I don't see Wall looking for Wood enough. And that is bothersome to me. Like, the amount of times that John Wall, whether intentional or unintentional, the amount of times that he freezes Christian Wood out of the offense entirely in favor of doing something himself is mind-boggling. There is zero reason for John Wall to finish with 30 field goal attempts and for Christian Wood to finish with, what did he have? 15? Yeah, John Wall had double the field goal attempts of Christian Wood. Like, I'm happy they got the win. I'm happy John Wall got a triple-double. I'm happy Christian Wood had 19 second-half points. I'm happy for a whole lot of reasons. But I need this dynamic to change moving forward, because there is no reason for Wall to be getting double the shot attempts of Christian Wood. It's like he noted, you know, he's like, okay, well, Victor Oladipo's out, I guess I just get all of his shot attempts. And Wood is just standing there like, yo, what the hell? So, and at the end of the day, when you've got a big like Christian Wood, it's tough because he relies on guards to facilitate to him. And so short of, you know, giving him the ball and saying, you know, go to work, big fella, there's not really other ways to get him more touches unless John Wall is actively looking for him, or by extension, you know, DJ Augustine, Kevin Porter Jr., Victor Oladipo, you know, the other wings as they're driving in. You know, it's tough, but they need to find ways to get him the basketball, because he is too efficient to not get multiple shot attempts, or to not get, you know, 20 plus attempts in a given game. And so that was kind of, you know, my hammer home, want to really focus on this takeaway from this game, because at the end of the day, they need Christian Wood to be the best player on the floor on any given night. And the fact that he came out after the Thunder loss and said that he wants more touches, he's being more vocal about it, that's a great sign. He needs to be vocal and he needs to demand his touches, because he's the best player on the team, right? You know, I made the point earlier this season when they were on their winning streak that things look drastically different when John Wall isn't out there, because he's like the safety net for the team. And so he might be the, you know, most crucial to this team, to their success, like on the court on a given night, because he keeps things flowing and he kind of is that safety valve for everybody else on the floor. He's the leader, that kind of thing. But Christian Wood's the best player. And you can even make the argument that as Christian Wood is developing more of a, you know, a vocal persona in the locker room, that he's preparing to take on that leadership role, that he's preparing to take on that, you know, alpha mentality, where this is his team. It's not John Wall's team, it's Christian Wood's team. But, you know, I made the argument earlier this season that Christian Wood wasn't ready to have a team, that he's just, you know, a 25-year-old fresh-faced, you know, this is the first time he's been a consistent starter. He wasn't ready for that level of responsibility from a mental, emotional standpoint to be the leader of this team. And that's why it was great to still have John Wall in a Rockets jersey, who can be the leader of this team, who has been the leader of a team for the better part of the past decade. But at the end of the day, if John Wall is going to do things that are detrimental to the team's success or to Christian Wood's development, I don't want to see those two butting heads And I don't think that they are, but I just want to see that dynamic change a little bit. And whether, and I think there's a lot of parties involved in that, right? That's a little bit more focus on John Wall, on being, you know, less of the hero guy and focusing on getting Wood more involved. That's Wood demanding more touches and being more aggressive. That's Steven Silas scheming better so that he can get Christian Wood more looks, you know, being creative in the ways that he gets Christian Wood the ball. Rather, you know, that way it's not exclusively just running, you know, a healthy dose of pick and roll, finding other ways to get him the ball to where he can be creative and get his own shots or create for others, because he's capable of doing that as well. So that's what I want to see coming out of this game moving forward, is I want to see the dynamic slowly shift, because John Wall's usage rate during the losing streak during the two games prior, so the Thunder game as well as the game right before that one, John Wall had like a 36% usage rate, and Christian Wood's usage rate was down at like 25% or something like that. I'm pulling the numbers off the top of my head because I looked them up and I don't have them right now, but there's no reason for John Wall to have a higher usage rate than Christian Wood. There's just not. The offense should flow through Christian Wood, and that's where I'm punching the point home on this podcast. And that's what I want to see moving forward from this team, whether they result in wins, losses, whatever, whether we continue to fade for Cade. I'm happy that they got this win. I'm excited that they got this win. I want to see that change moving forward. But it's just great to be able to talk about a win. And we're going to continue talking about this team and all of the trade deadline speculation, all of that moving forward. Reminder, catch myself and Ali Kambijani live, Locked On Rockets film room on the Locker Room app, 8:30 p.m. Central Tuesday. And then we've also got one more show Wednesday night. It'll be somewhat of a recap of the Hornets game, as well as kind of a trade deadline primer. And then I will also be doing or hosting a live deadline show for the Locked On Network. I'll be on for about 2 hours from about noon our time to 2 p.m. So noon to 2 p.m. Central, I'll be on there with Gavin Shaw from Locked On Knicks. We'll be kind of discussing everything going on, rumors leading into the deadline, reacting to things as they happen. It'll be great. Don't want to miss it. Be sure to check it out. But for today's episode of Locked On Rockets, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.